You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Miles to Go podcast this week. Our goal every week is to help make your travel just a little bit better. I'd love it if you'd do two things for me. If you take a moment and hit the subscribe button in whatever app you're listening on, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, really appreciate that. And also, if you leave us a rating with a comment, we read all those comments. It helps us make the show better. And by subscribing and rating, you help us be seen by more people so we can grow the audience. Up this week, we've got three segments for you, starting out with Richard Kerr of Award Travel 101 and the Points Guy fame. We're trying to puzzle through the mess that Marriott seems to have created between American Express and Chase for new credit cards in the new program. Suffice it to say that I still don't really understand which end is up, other than to know that the Starwood Amex, which has been in my wallet for over 15 years, may be leaving for the first time in a very long time. After that, we've got Jen back for another It's a Big Deal segment. We're talking about how to redeem a very small amount of Hilton points for concert tickets. We'll wrap up with Dominic from the Short Final, helping save you from an important mistake that you might make if you're renting a car in Europe. And I'll also say, too, just as a passing note, we're almost at the point now where Marriott is going to merge the SPG program into one with Marriott. That comes up on August 18th. So you've got a little bit of time left to make reservations for hotels that you know are going to go up in price for point reservations starting on August 18th. So consider this your reminder to get that taken care of before we run out of time. Without further ado, let's get started with the show. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Richard Kerr of Award Travel 101, who also writes for the Points Guy, and that's why I've got him on today. He had a couple of zingers before we got on the air, and Richard, I'm just going to be honest. I really can't make any sense of what the heck Marriott and Starwood did with their Chase and Amex credit cards.
Hey, man, I wrote 1,500 words on it, but that doesn't mean I understand it.
Yeah, we do this for, I won't say technically for a living for me, but you know, we do this on a regular basis, and I don't understand it. How's the everyday Joe supposed to understand what cards they can apply for, or what sign-up bonuses they get? How do they make sense of this?
Yeah, that was actually my closing point here, was a small business owner who gets the Marriott business card, which is going to change the name to make it even more confusing. And then after a couple months, they say, oh, wow, look at this new luxury card. All the benefits here. I don't have a Chase Sapphire Reserve, so I'm going to get this. They go to apply and they find out that they're not eligible for the offer. And that's just mass confusion for the person who doesn't do this for a living. So pretty interesting is a nice word to use for what Chase, Marriott, and Amex have come up with here.
Yeah, so let's give folks an example. So if I'm, I'll use a pretty basic one from your post. If I hold the Starwood Preferred Guest American Express card, which I do right now, I hold both the personal and the business version of that card. If I want to apply for one of the Marriott cards that are coming out now, can I do that? And if so, am I eligible for a sign-up bonus?
If you want the Marriott Rewards Premier Plus card, you are not eligible for the sign-up bonus. As I understand it, you can get the card, but you will not get sign up bonus if you've had the SPG personal card within the last 30 days. So as what I can tell, that means you got to close it, wait 30 days to apply. And that's the only way that you can be eligible to get that sign up bonus. If you want the business card, for some reason, the personal SPG card excludes you again for 30 days. If you want the Marriott Rewards Premier Plus business card, that's another layer that I'm not sure what they've got going on here. Why do the business cards exclude you from, or why do the personal cards exclude you from business cards, and probably vice versa? See, I can't even talk right about this because I'm scanning through this list of rules that they have worded poorly, and you're just trying to make sense of what they have going on here.
Yeah, and I also wonder how informative these messages are going to be when folks are applying for the cards. You know, I see what they've said they're going to say. You are ineligible for the welcome offer if any of the following are true. I'm just wondering how that's going to display on the page, and are people going to end up applying for these cards and then finding out after the application went through that they didn't get the bonus? If it, you know, is this like basic economy where maybe the warnings aren't going to be visible enough?
I got to set my room down for this, or I'm going to start saying my real opinion. So I asked them, right? So they say this is going to be automated. The Marriott spokesman, who's a spokesman that many of us have talked with through this, said that the process is going to be automated. And during the application process, the consumer is going to be made aware that they are not eligible for a sign-up offer. Let's think about for a second what it would take to make that happen. Marriott would have to have a rather ingenious automated tool that is instantly collecting information from both Amex and Chase, who probably don't have the exact same IT systems and interfaces. I'm not a computer guy, so those are the most technological words I can use. And then real time, query both banks, see what's going on. Both banks would have to report to Marriott when you close the card, so this automated tool knows it has been at least 30 days, and then accurately interpret all this information and give you an instant message. Is that going to happen on August the 18th? What's your guess, Pizza Man?
Is this 2018 or 2019?
No, August 18th when the or is it no?
26th. I understand. I'm saying it on August 18th. Do you mean this year or next year? Because there's no shot for this year.
Right. Yeah. So there's no shot. All right. So August 18th, the programs go together. August 26th, these new rules come into effect. There we go. See. Oh, we can't even keep this straight, man. There's just no shot that's going to happen, and it's going to be mass confusion. This is just going to go ugly. That's the only thing I can think of for the next 6 months.
Yeah, and so from a perspective of a business person, because I carry personal and business cards, as I'm sure you do too, I use those business credit cards for, wait for it, actual business transactions.
What?
And so I know. Can you believe that? So for me to say, hey, folks, I know you got that credit card in your wallet. We're going to cancel all the corporate credit cards, and we're going to wait a month to apply for new ones. And then once we apply, assuming that goes quickly, maybe another week or two after that, I'll give you a new corporate credit card. I just can't imagine how that's a feasible solution for business folks. Personal folks have issues as well, but focusing just on the business side of it, this is going to cause mass havoc in my business if I want to change credit cards now.
No, it's the exact same. So I'm great partners with Award Wallet now. There's about four of us that travel regularly in the United States. If Alexi, the owner of Award Wallet, said, hey, for the next 6 weeks, we got to figure this out, I don't have time for that. Neither do you. And neither does the small business folks who are going through the situation. You're going to say, forget this. What does Bank of America have going on? This is just silly. And that would require a level of knowledge that the small business owners, in my opinion, are not even going to get to. They're just going to go apply, get confused by pop-up messages, which may or may not be effective, may or may not be accurate, and say, this is not going to go good. Now, I really hope we're wrong. I would love to be amazed, maybe for the second time since I've been doing this in 5 years, that they get this right. I just don't see how it's going to happen.
No, and I think the more likely outcome is, Joe Smith, we'll use Alexi in this version. Alexi's smart enough not to make that mistake. Joe Smith goes and he applies for a new credit card and he gets accepted. He just never really realizes that he didn't get the bonus. And then, a month or two later, he spends the amount he was supposed to spend to earn his sign-up bonus. And then he's told by either American Express or Chase, I'm sorry, you didn't read all the rules. Look at the third paragraph here on page 17. We're not giving you your bonus.
Or Joe Smith tells his assistant that does all of his cards anyways to apply. The assistant doesn't see these pop-up windows. And then Joe ends up angry at the assistant. The assistant feels bad. And we can go back to Marriott, Chase, and Amex and go, what are you guys thinking? What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, it's funny because I get, like, from a business standpoint, I get it. They sat there and said, all right, well, we're going to keep two banking relationships. Chase doesn't want Amex eating Chase's lunch, and Amex doesn't want Chase eating Amex's lunch. I get it all. But you had to think that in the room full of people where they sat down and said, okay, this is how we're going to maximize how we can get the most money from the credit cards, these big banks. Marriott says, hey, we want to make sure we maximize our value here. Was there nobody in the room that said, hey, what about our customers?
This just brings it back why folks like you aren't brought in the room with them. Now, maybe they did, but I haven't talked to anybody. This is a surprise to pretty much everybody in our space. You've got to bring those consumers in there. And this is example 1972.3, where this has not happened. Folks get in the corporate boardrooms, they get in decisions, they get on the phone calls, and there's nobody in our shoes at the table. I know that's a lot to ask. Maybe that even sounds a bit pompous, but I think it just gets missed time and time and time again.
Yeah, and in business, you know, I own some businesses now, and we sample our customers when we make big changes. And I think the unfortunate part for a little bit for me, but probably more for, you know, the Chase and Amex is, yeah, the likely ramifications of this decision are that I will shift spending from my Star Preferred Guest Amex cards over to the World of Hyatt credit card, the new one. And I've already got that card in my wallet now. I will cancel my Starwood Amex, and if the timing happens to work out correctly, I will get around to reapplying for one of these Marriott cards. But if things are going well from an inertia standpoint, I may just keep putting money on my World Hyatt card and never go apply for another Marriott credit card.
We are in the same shoes, Pizza Man. August 1st, right? So that SPG card is in the sock drawer. Loses 33% of the value, actually, a few days ago when the last statement closed. So see you later. Now we're throwing this on top of it. I don't have time for that. I'm in Hyatt right now. I can now get elite status, putting my spend on the World of Hyatt card. Not subject to 524. No crazy rules that I got to worry about. That's where the spend's going to go for at least for the foreseeable future for all non-bonus spend. I have another question for you. Are you saying that you're changing the starch at your dry cleaner business and you sample the customers? Because don't mess with my starch, man. Don't. And if you mess with the Five Guys fries, we're going to have words.
Well, I gotta imagine that a guy like you with a military background does like his starch levels a very specific way. But no, we there was extensive testing inside the Five Guys system when they rolled out milkshakes, I'll tell you that.
Why is it milkshakes make or break the fast food chain, right? That's what set McDonald's apart when they figured out how to do the milkshakes, and now you're saying it's what's going the most testing with Five Guys. You're gonna have to explain to me the milkshake phenomenon one day.
Yeah, I'll have to, as soon as I figure out the milkshake phenomenon, I'll explain it to you. But I will give you just a little bit of an inside scoop. If you're looking for my favorite milkshake flavor, and what I believe is the best, is the double stuff, and that's where you combine the Oreo cookies and the Oreo cream in the same milkshake.
If the Oreo pieces sink to the bottom or only the top, like a McDonald's McFlurry, I'm not buying it, man. There's your customer feedback.
All right, well, we'll meet and see where those Oreo pieces are. In the interim, it sounds like you and I are both sort of awash in the sea of what credit cards we'll be charging on 30 days from now when it comes to, you know, Marriott and Starwood and this mess that they seem to have created with Chase and American Express.
What do you think is going to happen 6 months from now with this? Are these rules going to be out the window? Are they the bank's going to go completely separate? Is this going to get worked out? What do you foresee here with your business experience?
You know, I don't think there'll be I think if anything, the rules might be around on paper and they might decide not to apply them. That's the most that I can see happening. I do think that they're moving away from wanting to give customers sign-up bonuses who hop back and forth. And I think they'll look at folks who are looking to switch products as sort of like these evil folks that take sign-up bonuses from them. When in reality, I'm an American Express customer right now with Starwood, put a lot of business on that card. And if Chase wants to earn that business, well, yeah, I want a sign-up bonus out of it. If not, I'll grab another card. So I really, maybe I'm being pessimistic here. I really don't see a lot changing other than potentially them not applying the rules over the next 6 months. But I think the rules are going to be the rules for a while.
I'm just impressed at how well apparently Amex and Chase are playing, at least on the public persona of this. I mean, is that not alone something to be impressed by that they sat down and came up with these rules?
See, I disagree with you. I think looking at these rules tells you exactly how badly they're playing because they don't want people, you know, going after their customers, or we wouldn't have this nonsense of, well, you need to cancel that other card for a month before you apply for a new one, which is just not realistic. So I don't. They might be playing well publicly in the frenemy world, but I don't think we get multiple pages of requirements if they really were playing well.
It just seemed like two banks worth of lawyers writing this instead of one to me.
I think there's three. I think they just threw some Marriott lawyers in there because they wanted to make sure that they were getting billed the maximum amount possible.
In my next life, I'm going to be a Marriott lawyer. That's what it is.
You know, in my next life, if you're a Marriott lawyer, you and I are probably not going to be anywhere near as good friends. Just saying.
Or I'll have the inside scoop and you can come up with a deep throat nickname source for me, and then we're best friends.
Oh, there you go. I'll make sure I prime you with rum.
It's 9 a.m. It's my birthday. I'm in Costa Rica. I'm going to have more rum, Pizza Man.
I love it. Well, hey, man, happy birthday. I did see that this morning. Congratulations. Enjoy your stay down there in Costa Rica. I'm jealous I haven't found that property yet. Tell folks where they can find you when you're not hopping on the podcast with me complaining about these wonderful new rules.
And Oreo pieces. Hey, you can always find me on Facebook, Award Travel 101, and then I have 3 to 4 pieces a week on thepointsguy.com.
I'm going to jump in there too and say not just Award Travel 101, but the new Travel Grumps Elite, which I am a member of and enjoying. You know, a great way to learn how to travel with just a little less stress.
Yes, very cool subscription group on Facebook, Travel Grumps Elite. Thanks for joining in there, Ed. I appreciate it.
Just to be clear, rum not included with your subscription service. Richard, thanks again for being on. Happy birthday. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. If you're a family traveler, you might enjoy another of my favorite podcasts. Whether it's your first trip to Disney World or your 50th, yes, I'm guilty of that, Disney Deciphered should definitely be on your list. The hosts, Joe and Leslie, have been guests here on Miles to Go. Each week they release a new 15-minute episode that covers a Disney World topic in depth. Need an intro to Magic Bands? How about an advanced strategy for FastPass Plus? Leslie and Joe definitely have you covered. The episodes are short and to the point. They get right to the point, helping you make the most of your Disney dollars. Gosh knows you'll spend plenty of them when you visit. Find Leslie and Joe at DisneyDeciphered.com or on Apple Podcasts. Let's get back to our show. We still have a few miles to go. And we're back with another It's a Big Deal segment with Jen from Deals We Like, and we're talking about Hilton today and how to get really cheap concert tickets. Jen, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, Ed. How are you?
I am doing great, and this is actually our second time trying to record this because I goofed up and couldn't get the audio right on it. So thanks for coming back on to record this one. Essentially, the deal here, if you will, is the ability to get really cheap lawn seats to concerts through your Hilton Honors points.
Yes. So Hilton actually has a longstanding partnership with Live Nation, who runs a bunch of concerts throughout, I think it's more than just the United States. I think you can get concerts everywhere. And for the summer, June, July, August, September, and all the way through October, you can redeem just 5,000 points for a lawn seat at many of their concerts through, you know, many different locations. So it's a really good opportunity if you don't have a lot of Hilton points and you're just looking for somewhere to redeem, or if you have more Hilton points than you even know what to do with, and you're looking for something different than just staying at a Hilton hotel. This is a nice opportunity.
Yeah, when you brought this to my attention, I didn't know about it. There are a couple things that really struck me that I thought added a ton of value. First is, as you mentioned, it's pretty broad. I see a ton of cities that come up with concert venues that have lawn seats available over the course of 3 or 4 months, ton of different bands. I think I key in on, too, is, you know, if you had, you know, one work trip last year and you have, you know, 10,000 Hilton points in your account and you never know, you know, geez, am I ever going to get to use them? Now you can get 2 concert tickets for them, which I think is, you know, low point redemptions, I think, are great for the infrequent traveler.
Absolutely. And not only that, sometimes when you're redeeming for these experiences or something that's outside of actually for a hotel stay, you're not getting great value, you know, your point value, but this is actually a really good point value.
So yeah, I would think
you're
so.
You're not just redeeming for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an old man, so I don't know how much lawn seats to concert cost anymore, but I got to think, I mean, given the value of 10,000 Hilton points, it's got to be worth a lot more than 10,000 Hilton points to have 2 lawn seats to a concert if it's a concert you actually want to go to. And it's great that this runs, it'll run all the way through October. So, I mean, folks have a long time to find a concert in their area that that they want to grab tickets for.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity, and it's something different.
Yeah, nice. Definitely something different. And I think also, too, if you're sitting on a bunch of Hilton points and you haven't found a way to redeem, my guess would be that this resets the redemption clock for expiration. It's activity on your account as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, folks, there you have it. A nice, easy way to redeem 10,000 points, get yourself 2 free lawn seats to a bunch of different concerts. We'll link to Jen's post about it so you can find all the details about it, including the list of all the concerts that you can buy tickets for. Jen, when you're not on the podcast with us, let folks know where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com, and then throughout various social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, anything pretty much at Deals We Like.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for being on again, Jen. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Hey, while we take a quick break from Miles to Go, I wanted to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts. If you're enjoying my podcast, I think you'll also like Dots, Lines, and Destinations. Steven, Seth, and Foz are the hosts of the first travel podcast I ever listened to. Seth has already been a guest on Miles to Go a few times, and I'm hoping to have Steven and Foz on here at some point as well. These guys know the travel industry. You'll find them talking about cool new airplanes, crazy trips they're taking, Stroop waffles, and the best way to get from here to there. Though, given the name of their podcast, they don't specialize in the shortest way to get you there. At any rate, you can find Dots Lines at moredotsmorelines.com or on Apple Podcasts. Now, back to the show. Welcome back. I've got Dominic Perilli with me from the short final, and we're covering a topic I haven't covered yet in the podcast, and that's just a little bit of a quick how-to when you're renting a car in Europe. Thanks for being on the podcast, Dominic.
Thanks for having me.
You can hear Dominic's now boarding segment, our other podcast, the official boarding area podcast, if you want to learn more about his travel. But for now, we're going to focus on a post that he wrote recently and a couple of things that I guess I take for granted because I've rented cars a number of times in Europe, but I'm pretty sure I learned all of these lessons the hard way myself. So you ended up with a little bit of a problem when you rented a car in Europe, I guess it was Italy specifically?
That's right, yep.
And got to the pump and ended up with actually, I guess, a couple of problems.
Yep, no, for sure. So the first problem, obviously, is you have to pay. So I go up to the pump and I insert my credit card, and this is probably 10 o'clock at night, so there's no one there.
Yeah.
Insert the credit card and it doesn't work. So I try another credit card. Doesn't work. Try another one. Doesn't work. And I'm all out of credit cards at that point. So obviously insert cash. So that was the first problem. But I later find out that in Europe, if the gas station is manned, so if someone's working, you can go ahead and use your credit card and it'll work fine. If no one is there, you have to have a chip and PIN enabled credit card. And one of those is the Barclays Arrival Plus credit card.
Right.
So you can... You know, you can set a PIN, and then that way you can use it at unmanned gas stations. So something I learned the hard way. Obviously, I had cash, but if you don't have cash, then you know it may be an issue. So
yeah, and I always carry cash when I travel, overseas. But I will say that the vast majority of credit cards that you can grab in the U.S. don't come with a chip and PIN option, and you know we're fairly far behind most of the rest of the world there.
That's right.
And it causes problems. I can recall, and thankfully I had a friend that helped me with this, the first time I went to Paris, he mentioned to me, like, hey, if you're going to take the train, to the center of Paris, hopefully I won't butcher the pronunciation too much, but the station that I needed to go to that was closest to the Park Hyatt was Gare du Nord. And there's two lines when you get off your plane there and get onto the train platform. There's the line for the self-service kiosks, and then there's the line for everybody else, and that's the exception line. And that line can be 30 or 45 minutes to get a ticket. And in the self-service line, well, you know, you're 30 seconds, and then you're on a train. And we got there, and the only reason we didn't have to wait in the line was because he told me that I either needed to have a card that was chip and PIN, or I needed to have 9 euro coins, because mm-hmm. that was the fare. And so I had enough euro coins I had gotten when I get converted currency at the airport in the U.S. so that I could dump them into the machine. But if I hadn't, I'd have stood in line 45 minutes after a red eye with our young daughter standing in the middle of a train station in Paris trying to get downtown.
That's brutal.
Yeah, so it's nice to learn those tips from other folks.
And there's actually another problem. If you insert cash, let's say you only have a 50 on you.
Right.
And you only use about 25 euro or 30 euro of that 50, you don't get change back.
Really?
So what you can do is you can get the receipt, and then you can bring back that receipt at a later date when it's open and someone is there working, and give them that receipt, and they'll give you that credit in gas.
Mm.
So,
yeah, but if you're bumping around Europe, what's the chance?
Exactly. I was on my way back to Rome to return the car. So.
Yeah, and anytime I've rented a car, it's been to travel, fairly decent distances. Like I went from Sicily to Naples, so it's not like I'm looping back. And, for those that haven't rented a car overseas, and I would say probably Italy most specifically because it's a country that I have a decent amount of experience with, unmanned gas stations are – much more prevalent in Europe than they are here in the States. I'm guessing that's because of regulation, but I think it's, you know, fairly typically I saw unmanned gas stations where, at least in my hometown of D.C., I know of only one. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something you're going to run into. You know, as I was reading your post and I saw your other problem, I immediately remembered the first time I dealt with this. So I won't steal your thunder, but after you figured out how to pay for gas, you know, what was your next problem?
You have to figure out which is the correct fuel to put in there, as one of the commenters so eloquently pointed out, that I shouldn't call every type of fuel gas because it's not. So, you know, granted, when I was reading the reviews and kind of asking around of how to rent this car, because I've never done it before, they said, you know, make sure you are aware of the type of fuel that goes in the vehicle. And they do a pretty good job at the rental car agency, at least Hertz did. They put it on a small label inside the car on the dash and then outside, you know, back by the hole.
Right.
And it said diesel / gazole, G-A-Z-O-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I get to the gas station. There are three options. First option is Senza PB. That's obviously not it. Next one is Diesel Plus. And then the third one is Gasolio, G-A-S-O-L-I-O. So I just remembered my girlfriend's dad using Gasolio.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, he probably knows what he's doing. So let me put the same type of fuel in there. And it sounds similar to Gasole. So let me do that, right? I put it in, you know, fill it up. It's fine. We're all good to go. My girlfriend says, are you sure you put the right fuel in?
Boy, and I bet that's just a sinking feeling.
And I'm just like, oh, well, I never really thought about it. So I look over and I realize, oh, man, there's Diesel Plus. Maybe I should have put that in. And I had this sinking feeling. My heart just dropped that I was going to come home with a Renault because I was gonna, you know, go and destroy this engine block.
Yeah.
But turns out that the one that I put in was the correct one. So
you had a 1 in 3 shot, and we'll call it a 50-50 shot because you're right. You probably weren't going to put in the Senza PB, but you had a reasonable chance to put in the Diesel Plus.
Right. I'm usually not a lucky person, so I'm pretty pumped to see it worked out in my favor. So.
And I think the moral of the story here is probably twofold. One is, you know, especially if you're buying travel packages, I think – when you're talking about off-brand rental car companies, you may get less than perfect information. I happen to be a big fan of Hertz. It's who I normally rent with, and I think that they do a pretty reasonable job of apprising me of local conditions mm-hmm. when I travel. But I think it's, you know, it's one of those things. I don't want to put fear into people by any means, because I do think we should be able to travel without fear. But I think if you're going to rent a car in a foreign country, you know, say in a European or South American or an Asian country, because I think renting a car in Canada isn't a big leap of faith. But renting a car in a place like Italy, there are potentially problems that you could run into. And so I think it's just, if you're going to rent it, don't be scared of renting, but make sure you analyze, research. I'm sure you can turn up blog posts like Dominic's that will help you fill in these blanks so that you're not caught unawares. Learn from our mistakes. You know, we've certainly had our fair share of bumps and bruises when we travel. On this one, Dominic, it sounds like you escaped pretty much unscathed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's funny because it's sort of a basic topic, you know, and one of the commenters said, you know, how can you write something that's so basic? You know, why didn't you know this? But I'm thinking about it. I said, you know, this is my first experience. There are probably many of you out there that are having, you know, some kind of vacation coming up where you'll have to rent a car in Europe and you may be wondering the same thing. So hopefully, you know, with this experience, you can learn it.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what the reason why I write a lot of my posts. Maybe you should have learned this before you left, but in theory, the hope is that by us writing things like this, there's a greater chance you'll learn it the easy way and be prepared for the trip. You know, I can't tell you how many things I've taken from other blogs before a trip, you know, like that 9 euro coin idea to make sure I didn't get stuck in a 45-minute line at Paris at the airport.
Sure.
Well, thanks so much for coming on with us and talking a little bit of gasoline. When you're not hanging out with me on the podcast, where can folks find you?
Mainly Twitter and Instagram. So it's going to be The Short Final on Twitter and The Short Final blog on Instagram.
And you can also find him at theshortfinal.com on Boarding Area. Dominic, thanks a bunch for being on. Hope to have you back on again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. And we're back to wrap up this week with the final two pennies. We talked early about credit cards, and that's where I'm going to park it for the final two pennies. It's time to take out your wallet and go through the cards that are in it. Make sure you know why each card is in there. Also, make sure you know what the annual fee is and whether you're getting enough value to keep paying that annual fee on a yearly basis. That's an important reminder of, you know, things change. I mentioned earlier I've had the Starwood Amex for, you know, more than 15 years, and it's probably going to be leaving my wallet because the amount of points I can earn on it going forward is less than I can earn from other credit cards, and I don't think I'll get quite the value out of the annual fee that I used to get. So always want to be evaluating. You know, certainly the Marriott changes make us think specifically about that, but it's a good time to just pull out the wallet, pull out all the cards in there, and just make sure that you've got a reason that you're keeping each inside your wallet. Maybe you thought you were going to travel a bunch and you haven't, and you'd be better off in a cashback card. Or maybe your travel plans have changed and you're going to be traveling more, and so you want to ditch that cashback card and move to something that pays you some rewards. Either way, let's make sure that if you're paying an annual fee on a credit card that you're earning the right points. We'll leave it right there. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Richard, Jen, and Dominic. We'll have another episode for you next week. I've already started recording some of the segments for it, got some plans for some others, and I'm excited to launch another episode of the Miles to Go podcast. Our family's been on the road the last few days. We'll be back home soon. Business travel season will be back underway as school gets ready to get started. But until then, we've got miles to go.